Would you turn with me to Proverbs 22:6? This is a verse that we should all memorize, especially since we're talking about parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood. Ooh, this is an encouraging promise from God's word. I'm kind of one of those who, you know, still learn their old memory verses from the King James, right? Amen. NIV says, start off children in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. I like the old King James. Raise up a child in the way that he or she should go, and in the end, they will not turn from it. Some of you have wayward children. It ain't the end yet, is it?
No.
Amen? Yeah, thank God, literally. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this Father's Day. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. You gave your only begotten Son for us, Lord. And Lord, so many of us here are parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, even some great-grands. And we just thank you for that blessing. But we especially remember those children, grandchildren, who are not following you, Lord. And we trust in your promises, Jesus. We thank you for your word. And many of us have raised children in the way that you would have them go. And we thank you that it's not the end, and that you are still working and you are still on the throne. And so praise you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Open our eyes and our hearts to the word you have before us, this promise in your word, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the past week, obviously, not just me, but many of you were thinking about Father's Day. And, you know, normally I don't really like them, but there's a lot of bad dad jokes out there. And sometimes they're sort of funny. A lot of one-liners from, I noticed a lot of one-liners from famous people out there. Kind of like the time, Billy. Yeah. When a man stood outside the delivery room waiting for his wife to give birth, and much to his astonishment, she gave birth to a son who had no torso, no arms, no legs. The son was just a head. Just a head. Now, the father loved this boy anyway. 21 years later, on Father's Day, he took his son out for his first drink. Having his first sip of alcohol, the young man, whoosh, a torso popped out. And the bar went deadly silent. And everybody's like, another one, another one. And then he sipped a little and two legs popped out. Place went nuts. And people actually in the bar started profusely thanking God. There's a lot of worship that goes on in bars, too. Have you noticed this? This is actually promising. This is good. Everyone began chanting, have another one, have another one. And then the legs popped out, arms popped out. Boy was a little tipsy, began to stumble. He went straight out the screen door into the street. He was proceeded to get hit by a truck and died instantly, killed. Entire place fell silent. Father began to moan in grief. Bartender sighed and said, that boy should have quit while he was ahead. Bad dad joke. I'm done. That's lame. Lame. More importantly, right, many of us this week have thought about our fathers, grandfathers, significant teachers in our lives. I thought about my grandfather that I love so much. I thought about the grandfather I never knew who died before I was born. Thought about my own father, died 2 years ago. He'd been 85 this month, his own impact. You know, it can take a lifetime to figure out the impact these folk have had in our lives, right? So interesting, right? Thought about my oldest son, graduated from the U, lives in Puerto Rico. My youngest son, as you know, we just were in the Far East in Western China. My oldest son was married in Puerto Rico. I'm like, what's wrong with America? And then my youngest had to go like get married on the border of Tibet. But it was awesome. It was awesome. Just got married. And you know, sometimes don't you just stop as a parent and just like, how did I get here? In my best days, I could have never even remotely predicted or figured any of this out. And I think sometimes that's God's mercy too. You know, you're gonna have a child. I mean, that just sends men into, oh gosh, just heart palpitations. The women are better prepared. We'll talk about that in a minute. But You know, I thought about the important, it's a really a sacred trust of fatherhood. It is, it's kind of an art, right? I mean, there's some science to it, right? But it's really important. Fatherhood is so important in our rapidly fragmenting society. And you know what, as I thought about it this week, I thought, you know, it would have been so nice to have 10 easy steps to being a dad, right? Or a mom, right? And there's some good stuff out there, but that's not how it really works, is it? And I thought, you know, why would I want 10 easy steps? What's that really about? Well, that's about fear, not faith, right? So if I just check all the boxes, everything will work out just fine, right? Well, maybe, maybe not, right? Just do A, B, and C. You know, isn't it interesting that God entrusts fatherhood to weak and sinful men? And yet, fatherhood, parenthood is a perfect school of Christian sanctification, right? I mean, holy smokes, the stuff you learn that you would never have imagined, right? Now, here's one of the things that I've done that actually was helpful. Over the years, I have spoken to many older Christian men who I trust and respect. You know, tell me your secrets, right? Your insights about fatherhood that's helpful. And I still do that to this day, and it's such a blessing, right? Listen to the wisdom, the experience of godly men who have traveled further down sort of the trail of life and fatherhood than I have. You know, for me, it was in the fellowship of older and more experienced men, and I continue to do that, that I have learned, and I continue to learn, how to raise up a child in the way that they should go, right? This is a promise, this is so good. And let me encourage you men, and to a degree ladies too, you know, we should surround ourselves with older godly people. Why wouldn't we, right? That's one of the great blessings of the Church of Jesus Christ. They have so much to teach. And sometimes you'll just learn stuff that's hilarious and sometimes like, oh, scary. And sometimes just like, I never thought of that, right? Seasoned believers, so important. And listen to good teaching about parenthood too. I did that as a young unmarried man. I kind of figured, like probably most guys, you know, someday I'll probably get married and probably have children. So maybe I better learn something. So I would actually listen to teachers and Bible folk and that kind of thing. A man once asked a philosopher, how long should a man keep learning? And the answer was this, as long as he remains ignorant. Which means forever. You're always a student, and it's a good thing. It's important. Listen up, fathers. A young man may think it's unnecessary and a waste of time. That is not true. I'm thinking Mark Twain once confessed this. He's hilarious. His cultural insights are still just scathing today. Mark Twain said this, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when I turned 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in only 7 years." So a man must keep on learning what it means to be a man, what it means to be a father until the day of his death, because as several wise women in this church have reminded me, no matter what their ages are, your children will always remain your children. While the older gentlemen have added, and they will keep costing. You know, the older they get, sorry, fathers of younger children, they get more expensive. Have you noticed? Here we go. Now everybody's preaching and testifying. Here we go. Let me ask you a couple questions as the Mosaic Church family this morning. Last week we had a bridal shower for Brenda, and Sheldon was here, and you got to meet him, and that was awesome. This has always struck me as interesting. Let's be honest, we're in church. How many of you ladies grew up dreaming of your wedding day? Anybody wanna? Some of you ladies are not telling the truth. Okay, All right, guys, dudes, how many of you grew up dreaming of your wedding day? Josh. Yeah, no, that's good, Josh. That's good. Because most guys don't think about it until the day, right? And this is why I've done tons of weddings. I was musing at Chase and JC's wedding a few weeks ago. It dawned on me, it was sort of one of those scary moments. And I realized when I was standing in front of the group, I realized I had been doing weddings longer than these kids have been alive. I was like, oh my gosh, it just happened to me. I became that dude, that older dude. Such is life. But most guys don't think about their wedding day. That's why on their wedding day, they look petrified. You know, one of some of the early advice I give guys and the groomsmen and stuff, it's like, and everybody in Montana wants to do an outdoor wedding, I found out. 11 years here, it's going to be Brenda and Sheldon's wedding at the end of the month. It will be the first church wedding I've been in to help out in 11 years. Everybody likes it outside. Now, inclement weather, all that kind of stuff, it gets really interesting. I've done weddings where we had all four seasons in one afternoon. Snow and rain and beating sun and wind blowing chairs across the valley. Oh, this is, yeah, it's true. But, you know, guys aren't prepared. And so I usually say to the groomsmen, it's like, okay, guys, stand there. Try and be relaxed, right? Don't lock your knees. I've seen young men like pass out in weddings, like, and it wasn't because they were overly imbibing the night before sometimes. But it's like you get them up, and you're okay, yeah, I'm okay. It's not the women who are passing out at weddings. It's the dudes. Sorry, guys, I'm sharing trade secrets here, I guess. Anyway, you know, it's like this for ladies too. They're just better prepared. This is why, you know, at a wedding or when a lady announces a pregnancy, they're just beaming. They're just shining. It's so beautiful. And the guys are like, you know, it's like a big roller coaster. I think we can do better. I think we can do better in the training of men in the areas of marriage, children, and family. So thinking about our verse, I hope you'll memorize this. Some of this verse will be precious to some of you. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, that she should go, and in the end they will not depart from it. The end is not here. Now, how do you train up a child in the way they should go? Well, I went to some comedians for some advice. Comedians are, have you noticed that many people are trying to shut them down these days? It's like, no, 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 no. They actually speak a prophetic word, right? And you're not supposed to like it, right? Just like you're not supposed to like everything I say, right? He irritates me sometimes. Good. I'm your preacher, right? Sometimes that should be that way. Comedian Ray Romano once said this, having children is like living in a college frat house. Nobody sleeps, everything is broken, and there's a lot of throwing up. Ugh. No thanks. Or comedian Jim Gaffigan, Catholic, another Catholic guy, he said, there should be a children's song. Remember this one? If you're happy and you know it. No. Let dad sleep. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Right? Now, it's just funny. I mean, I'm sort of used to it now, but when young men would come up to me for advice about parenting or fatherhood, and I was just sort of mystified. Why are you asking me, dude? Ask my dad. You know? I'm not sir. He is. But anyway, you know, passing on a few things, it's important, I think, for us to do as men. We mentioned this in adult ed today. There is a problem with the father and male image in our society, right? I mean, have you ever noticed how shows just depict fathers and men as idiots? They don't know nothing. Oh, I'm just trying to, like, make everybody happy. It's not your job, right? Well, I just want to be my child's friend. Don't. You're their father, their mother. I didn't say don't be friendly. We've got a problem with this image. Why are we making men look stupid, right? Now, I can't speak to you, obviously, on raising daughters because I don't have any, and I have a distinct feeling that God did that on purpose because I'd probably be in jail. You know, like, you move on, you know, kind of thing. I can just sort of see that. But I have some thoughts on daughters. I have nieces and things. But let me say a few things about sons, since I have two. I did have a intentional, personal approach, and maybe a few of these things will be helpful to some. I don't know. I think some of this definitely applies to girls anyway, to children in general. You know, the training of young people is utterly crucial to the kingdom of God. And, you know, the world is not helping us these days, right? Can you think of any other institution, really, substantially, in our society that encourages marriage and parenthood today, other than the Church of Jesus Christ? I can't. You're like, I'm not trying to be grouchy. I'm just trying to be honest, right? When I think of parenthood, particularly my job as a father, I've talked about this a little bit before, but I think of a picture kind of with a stool with three legs, right? I confess I'm not a woodworker. I really appreciate and respect men that can build things. You wouldn't want me building you a lean-to. Well, I'd probably do that in the wilderness in a stretch. But so I confess I'm not a woodworker, so I'm not at much risk for what David Letterman said. David Letterman once said this about Father's Day. He said, only on Father's Day do you get that lethal combination of alcohol and power tools. Let's build something. How about tomorrow, sir? A young man, I think a young lady, must be trained in body, mind, and soul, I think, for what it's worth. First of all, the body, right? I've shared some of this with you before, but from a young age, I believe a young man must be taught personal grooming, daily showering, and bathing and dental hygiene. You're like, amen, right? You would be shocked at how many young boys are not taught these things. Sorry, I don't mean to freak out the ladies, but just FYI, 50% of all men do not wash their hands after using a bathroom. Problem. Some of you guys, I saw a few guys go like, what's wrong with that? It's like, I'm not gonna out you. Wash your hands. It's gross, right? But I've noticed, I think that number is increasing with ladies too. I'm not gonna go there because I don't wanna get murdered in church. But from a young age, my sons were fed well, taught how to make healthy choices in the area of food. There is a food pyramid, right? And I didn't allow excessive junk food in the house. They were taught the value of physical exercise, not allowed to shy away from hard physical work. And as I shared with adult ed this morning, my youngest son, when he moved to Montana, somebody said, I need to hire a young man to help me buck hay. I said, I can help you out. Please. I think young men need to learn to work hard. I think it's good for them. Shouldn't shy away from that. They're allowed to enjoy and pursue sporting activities of their choice, games that were physically entertaining, right? My sons grew up as minorities on the south side of Chicago, for better or for worse. So they were taught how to defend themselves when necessary. It wasn't only one time I was in the principal's office. Oh, they were fighting. No, he was defending himself for a friend. Okay, he's out for a day. I get it. You have to do that. I don't care. Right? But I did tell my sons too, if a fight takes longer than 20 seconds, you'll deal with me. Finish it. Be done with it. You're like, that's awful. No, it's not. They both hold black belts in Taekwondo. Right? Regular doctor visits, dental health checkups. They're in pretty good shape. I have gotten older and I like to eat out with the guys now. Need to get back to the gym. But I think, you know, I think they would describe me as somewhat strict growing up in their early days, but I think it's important. You have a window, don't you? It's a small window, people. It goes so quick. When I see little ones running around, I just love it. And I'm thinking like, you have no idea how quickly they're gonna grow up, right? And they wanna be with you right now. Wait till they're teens and you don't know nothing. Remember Mark Twain? It's just part of life cycle. It's okay. Secondly, the mind. Personal discovery, learning, education, always high priorities, non-negotiables in my household since day one. Let them pursue the things that interest them. You know, some people, you know, move towards books, some people towards trades, all that kind of stuff. Let them move towards those things and encourage it, right? But make them complete homework, do well, you know, demand a certain level of excellence from your children. You know, I don't want to hear it's good enough. Don't want to hear that. Now, this has shifted. I thought about that this week. But when they grew up, they could only watch PBS on TV and Disney age-appropriate videos. If I were raising children today, those would be off the menu now, right? Things shift. I did not allow TVs or computers in their bedrooms as children. I would still probably insist on that. I actually had family members say, well, you know, I'm going to buy them a TV for Christmas for their bedroom. I'm like, no, you're not. And they're like, I actually had family members say, yes, we are, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I said, oh, sure there is. I live in Chicago. It'll go on the corner, and it'll be gone in about 7.5 seconds. So please buy a TV or a computer for my child's room. And I don't mean to sound angry. I'm just trying to be clear here. This is important. Media consumption was monitored. How you doing on your media consumption? Here's what I see a lot of people on the street with their phone. TikTok averages 1.5 to 1.8 seconds. Work away from that. You know why? This is dopamine receptor. You're becoming addicted to cocaine and you don't even realize it. I'm not a cocaine addict. No, you're a TikTok addict and you can't stop. Have you noticed this? Oh, he's preaching now. Are we done? No, I'm just getting started, right? Family vacations always had an educational theme attached to them. Focusing on the beauty of God's world. Oh my gosh, we live in one of the best corners of God's real estate, amen? Right? The value of American history, Great Commission aspects of world, people, and cultures. I've shared this with some of you. This was one of the least favorite summer vacations, but Deb and I sure enjoyed it. We visited all the Laura Ingalls Wilder homesteads in America. And some of the guys are like, oh. You know, and we read her books. What an interesting picture piece of Americana. Another year, we visited all the major colonial towns on the northern eastern seaboard. That was interesting. This was a popular one. One day, we decided to eat our weight in barbecue in the South. It took me about 3 months to get healthy again. You ever see Super Size Me? Guy just died, by the way. Fascinating documentary. Morgan Spurlock. My grandma was a Southern woman. And one year, you know, different years, we did wilderness camping to refine those outdoor skills, which helped them both become Eagle Scouts. Why do I mention these things? Because I thought that they were, and I still believe these are important in training up a child in the way they should go, or aspects. Third, finally, from their infancy, they had the scriptures read to them before bed. Obviously, they were in Sunday school. They were taught by godly people growing up. They were encouraged and loved on by PKs. Oh, what a blessing PKs are. We've got a couple here. You know what a PK is? It's a preacher kid. It's one who knows what it's like to grow up in that. Brenda's obviously a preacher kid, and Janie's a PK. She was encouraging me this week. Appreciate her. They have special insights. They know the pressures of living in a family with a pastor. Any other PKs here? MK? Yeah? Okay, right on. MKs? Missionary kids? That's another kind. Yeah, we got a repeat offender in Janie. She really knows. Missionary kid, preacher kid, they're those are special sort of insights, and I'm so grateful for those folk over the years, right? I never made my kids go to every church event because the church door was open, right? They didn't have religion shoved down their throat. They may say that, but not really, right? They did love having missionaries in our home fellowship groups, meals in her house. And they both have become sort of world travelers, I think, because of that. That's an aspect of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, I think. They saw us minister to homeless people, and sometimes homeless folk are, the smell is overwhelming. But they grew up seeing that. They were encouraged to cultivate their own passions and dreams. I think those things are kind of helpful in cultivating the way a child should be trained up and the way they should go. Have I done it all right? Of course not. Could I have done some things better? Oh, what parent doesn't think about that, right? Do I have regrets? Yeah, but very few ultimately, I think. I'll never forget what one of the early college pastors I was blessed with had this to say about, since it's Father's Day, how a man learns to die to himself. You don't hear messages so much like that anymore. How does a man die to himself? He said, the minor leagues, using baseball as an image, the minor leagues in death to self is marriage. We're not despairing God's institution of marriage, but you know, when people get married, they have to compromise and do things like that. It's actually really good for people, because so they're not selfish, especially the dudes, right? The major leagues in death to self is having children, right? I love how C.S. Lewis describes male headship in a Christian sense. He said, oh, to be the head of a household is to take up your cross and die. Are you done yet? I'm getting there. I found that to be so true. Isn't it ironic that a man, well, all of us, right? But a man needs a license to drive a car but not have a child. This is a little backwards, maybe, right? Train up a child in the way they should go. Takes prayer, discernment, lots of tears and patience, daily time, and many, many years, right? It's not easy. I know some of you have been through the ringer. Some of you, when it comes to your children, you've shared hard, hard stories. I was reminded of a conversation that I was blessed with. Oh my goodness, this was 32 years ago now. I was 24 at the time. I was recently married, had no children. I never forget the faith of a Christian mother I knew in the Bronx borough of New York City, Puerto Rican lady, my first church. She struggled with a very wayward child. I didn't really know how to encourage or comfort her, right? But then she compassionately said to me, and that's kind of the source of some of this message, oh my gosh, that might be my old neighborhood, actually. Whew. Oh man, where's the cannolis and the pizza? Miss that. This lady said to me, she said this, she compassionately said, and she quoted God's word. She said, I'm remembering God's word. Train up a child in the way he should go, and the end he will not depart from it. And she said this, Pastor Jim, God's promise is that in the end my child will not depart from him. In the end, God's not done with your children. Amen? Okay. So let me leave you fathers and mothers with three pieces of spiritual encouragement and advice. First of all, it's never too late. Surround yourself with godly men who are fathers, preferably older men who know more about fatherhood than you. Okay? How practical is that? Right? Second, get all the good Christian teaching and training you can get your hands on. These are tools. You want tools. Guys like tools. You want tools. You know, you only need so many tools, but if you have the right tools, you can do so many interesting things. And then learn how to use them. Some guys just buy tools and never use them. Well, that's kind of pointless, but kind of like guns in Montana, but I don't want to step on toes this morning. I like guns. Third, if you're a father of sons, think about the three-legged stool. I think the specifics may vary, but I believe that young men need to be trained in body, mind, and spirit. That's not true for young ladies either. That's true for young ladies, isn't it? Right? Yeah, I think it's transferable. Again, I know boys best. Gentlemen, you who are fathers or grandfathers, or who will one day be such, right? Be reminded this morning, we have a good and gracious Heavenly Father. He is not harsh or difficult. You don't have to live in fear. He's calling you to live in the light and in the power of the resurrection faith through Jesus, his son. And again, raising children will not be, you will not learn it in 10 easy steps. You know, whenever I hear online preaching or teaching, which I avoid mostly now, whenever they start talking about 3 easy steps to or 10 easy steps to or the popular Christian books, I'm like, no thanks. That's not how it works, people. Now, I'm all for principles, don't get me wrong. But it happens when we submit to our Father's will, our Father in heaven. So here's the command, here's the promise. Memorize this verse. Train up a child in the way they should go, and in the end they will not depart from it. So in closing, I'd like to remind us all of 5 things that you should never expect to hear from a father or a grandfather. Number 1, would you please turn that music up? Your dad says that? Your dad's cool. There's a fine line, though, between... anyway. Hard at y'all. Well, that's starting to happen to me. Number 2. Oh, hey, that tattoo looks great. We should go get a new one together. Now, some of you are like, my dad got a tattoo. I'm just saying these are generalisms, right? Number 3, you're not going to hear from your father or grandfather, sure, take my car and here's $50 for gas. I mean, let's just keep it real. Or number 4, your mother and I are going away from the weekend. Why don't you invite all of your buddies to our house and have a big party? No. I'm not telling you when I'm coming or going. And finally, don't ever expect to hear this from a father. Oh, here. Have the remote. It's his. Are you done? I'm done. All right. Happy Father's Day, Grandfather's Day, Spiritual Father's Day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. You are such a good and gracious Father. You gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And so you have shown us the way, the model. And Lord, we confess that we are imperfect, we are sinful, we make mistakes, but you're so good and forgiving, and you do teach us, lead us, and guide us. You fill us with your Spirit. You surround us with good men who teach us and give us many great examples, and we're grateful for that. And Lord, as we go forth in this Father's Day, for those of us who still have fathers or grandfathers, may we reach out to them and thank them. And for those of us who have seen our parents, our fathers and grandfathers go forward in glory, we want to give you thanks and remember them today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.